It sometimes seems that China, the People's Republic, is two different countries.
More than 350,000 children's products and toys, all made in communist China, were recalled this week. The toys violate the federal ban on lead paint.
That's one China, fast, cheap, and out of control. Contaminated toothpaste, lead paint on Thomas the Tank Engine. That's the China whose Communist Party put a media blackout on the start of the SARS epidemic 4 years ago. Then there's the totally different China we hear about. Modern, thriving, transforming itself overnight. More capitalist than the West. Kind of cool. A place where artists who were persecuted just a few years ago now sell pieces for a couple of million dollars. I'm Kurt Anderson, and this hour in Studio 360, we're going to look at the new China and its booming culture. We'll talk with all kinds of people, including the great film director Ang Lee, whose new movie takes us to China during World War II. But first, visual art. Jocelyn Ford's a reporter who's been based in Beijing for years. She told us about an epicenter of China's contemporary art scene, a small town where more than 1,000 artists now live. Jocelyn, I'm going to let you be the first to pronounce the name of that town. What is it?
Sure, it's Songjiang.
And when did you first go there?
I first went there in 2002. And in fact, it was an editor who was visiting from the U.S. who said, hey, I want to go see the cutting edge of China, what's coming down the road in the future. So she said, let's go visit the artists.
And when you went there 5 years ago and went there more recently for us, had it changed in that time?
Had it changed? An understatement of the year. It's a completely different village from when I went to.
Artists are everywhere are want to sort of, you know, push the edge of the envelope. Do you see that kind of thing going on out there?
Well, for your story, I wanted to get some great sound. So I decided to go to an opening. It was in a brand new gallery that was in a former chicken farm, sort of underground. And when I got there, the problem was that everybody at the opening had already rushed out the door because one of the artists lit fireworks underground, smoked up the whole place. Lucky it didn't catch on fire, but we couldn't see any of the art.
And so when you say underground, you're not speaking figuratively. You mean it was literally under the ground?
Literally, sort of a half-buried chicken farm factory.
Wow. Let's listen to your report from Songjiang.
Okay, great.
Are you going to Songjiang?
To get to China's artist village, you can take a minibus from downtown Beijing.
You step on a little minibus with tattered cloth covers on the seats and boxes piled up.
You can tell you're headed out of town. The passengers have that leathery look of people who've spent their lives toiling in the fields under the hot sun. And then there was the odd one out, the woman talking about the gallery opening.
So this afternoon there is the opening of an exhibition in Songjiang.
Her Nance is a graduate student from France. She's heading to Songjiang to do research for her thesis.
Chinese contemporary art is booming and you hear about it everywhere, so I wanted to know what is behind this Chinese contemporary art in Europe or in the U.S.
Songjiang is about an hour outside of Beijing. It used to be a regular impoverished village. Farmers grew corn. There were a few small factories. And then its fate took a strange turn. In the aftermath of the 1989 Tiananmen Square crackdown, authorities started going after artists who lived together in a community in Beijing. They tore down their homes and chased out of town about 300 of them. But the tiny village at the center of Songjiang district had a hard-headed leader. Cao Dabai had a use for the outcasts.
At that time, all I knew was that farmers could earn more from renting or selling their homes than they could from planting fields.
He had no idea what his decision would mean for his farming hamlet, population 1,500, a decade later.
Right, brand new highway, there are even the tractors still here. Something's going well in this town. The first time I came here, it was really run down. The roads were all full of potholes. There was no huge sign saying Songjiang, China.
Yeah, I think it's kind of brand they want to create.
The ambitious village has registered its name as a trademark and aims to become known internationally as the home of China's contemporary art scene. Today's Sungjuang could be a poster child for modernizing rural China. The brand new shops on the single main road already look shabby and cluttered, like the dusty shops they replaced. There are pool tables by the side of the road, a favorite pastime in rural China, just not done in sophisticated cities. Then there's the postmodern gallery restaurant with works by local artists. Not too far away, down a little lane, lives artist Wang Chouren. Like the other early comers, Wang refurbished a farmhouse inside a walled enclosure with a big gate.
When I moved here, there wasn't even a restaurant. We had to go 20 minutes to town to go to a restaurant.
Back then, he says, moving to Sungjuang was like moving to Siberia.
Back then, there were too many political struggles. But artists were still idealistic. They painted to express themselves. Now artists move here because they want to make money.
Wang has found a new escape. He used to paint with oils because they were Western and modern. A few years ago, he switched back to traditional Chinese landscape painting with ink and paper.
I started to think that society is moving too quickly, so nowadays traditional painting is more important.
Traditionally, ink painting was a part of the Chinese intellectual's contemplative lifestyle. But today in Sungjuang, that quiet life is becoming hard to find. The price of housing is soaring, and farmers are now fighting with artists to get back their land. Cornfields are being plowed under to construct brand new galleries and art museums. There are already six. Investors are building posh studios for the artists. Behind the real estate rush are Western art collectors. And for the local communist leaders, their former liability, the artists, are now an asset. Here's Hu Jiabao, the secretary general of the Communist Party for the entire Sungjuang district. He's an affable, clean-cut man in his 40s. He's guzzling beer at the Rubueno Bar and Gallery with a long-haired Filipino slacker, the bar owner's boyfriend. 3 years ago, Hu Jiabao read in a Communist Party newspaper that culture and entertainment account for over half of the economy in the United States, but only 5% in China. Now he heads a pyramid of governmental and private associations that help arrange exhibitions and woo potential investors. When Hu Jiabao is not hobnobbing with artists, he's often found giving village tours to official delegations. Like this one, a group of elite politicians, roughly the equivalent of our congressional representatives. They've come because the central government now wants non-polluting economic growth. So they're on a study tour to learn how to nurture clean industries like art. In his most officious communist-style presentation, Hu Jiabao lectures the crowd about New York City's Soho, or Suhe in Chinese. Hu has never been to New York, but he describes with authority how the rundown warehouse district was transformed into a world-famous art center. Never mind that the New York art scene has since moved to Chelsea. Hu Jiabao has never heard of Chelsea. He then brings the visiting dignitaries on a gallery tour. Full-breasted, pig-headed woman's body pulling down her panties. Hu Jiabao explains to his guests, the image of the large blue piggy was inspired by the Chinese animal zodiac. It was painted for the Year of the Pig. Only a few years ago, the blue piggy painting would surely have been banned. When I ask about censorship, Party Secretary Hu asserts, China is now open. Censorship is not a problem. Not in the Blue Piggy Gallery, maybe. But it sure was a problem down the street at Sungjuang's first documentary film festival. The festival was organized by Li Shenting, China's best-known art critic. The festival screened some controversial documentaries, like this woman's retelling of a gang rape by her high school boyfriend's father and his gambling friends. Other films addressed minorities losing their identity, homelessness, and the forced eviction of artists from Beijing.
Because Generally, the society, everything is so prosperous and everything. But the documentary films tell the truth, the more harsh reality of the real world.
But censors don't like harsh reality. In the theater, a member of the audience whispered to me,
always people sit in the audience to check after they left around 10.
She said censors lurk among the audience. So one time, the organizers pretended to be finished for the day. And then when the miners went home, they secretly screened films in the middle of the night. One was about the Tiananmen crackdown. Li Xianting says he's prepared to be in constant battle for artistic freedom, and he doesn't mind that the government is gaga over commercial prospects of art. But he says there needs to be a balance. Commercialism is to art, he says, as water is to a boat.
Like a water and boat, it can support it, it can also overturn it.
Water can keep a boat afloat, but it can also capsize it.
It's probably going to be submerged soon, the boat.
Reporting from the artist village of Songzhuang, China, I'm Jocelyn Ford for Studio 360.
You can also hear Jocelyn Ford's interview with Fang Fang, the art mogul who runs Beijing's Very Hot Star Gallery. That's only available at studio360.org. Coming up, a Chinese dancer at home on Long Island can't stop reliving the past.
People are behind her shouting, "Dang, Zheng Tingfang, dang," you know, then people coming to hit her. I saw a bottle of ink landed on her face and then covered her face.
Decades after the fact, the Cultural Revolution still casts a long shadow. That's ahead in Studio 360 from PRI, Public Radio International.